It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 27th day of June 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That is, of course, where you go. Should you perhaps want to jump into the Madcap, Merry, Wacky, Zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. If you do, you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Silent R. Lamar and B.T. Blom and pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Yes, everybody's waiting for you. There will be more along as the evening progresses because, as I've noted many times in the past, we do not have a tardy bell in the chat room. No. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and we have reached the middle of the week, Wednesday, hump day. Downhill to Friday. We will be having one more two-hour program this evening because I will be filling in for Malloy one more night at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. They're finally getting some answers as to what it is that has made Mike so miserable. And I hope to know more particulars about that in the next hour or so. But I'll be over there. I hope you'll join in. Maybe we'll engage in some conversation either there or here. It is, of course, prayer meeting Wednesday on The Horn. And I don't know. Maybe we can scrounge up a little prayer meeting Wednesday miracle here and finish off the month of June's fundraising. We have thanks to send out. Thanks to Mark. Thank you very kindly, Mark. Who says, thanks, Bob, for all your good work. Hope you're doing well. Glad to hear you in the Horn community every weekday evening. Thank you so much, Mark. Mark finished off the challenges from Charlene and Dr. John and got us a little further down the road on what remains for the month of for the month of June. So I can happily announce that we have only $180 to go, and then at least tomorrow and Friday will be fundraising free radio, and won't it be wonderful? Yes. So thank you, Mark, and thanks as well to our subscribers. We thank our subscribers every evening. We have two subscribers for the 27th day of the month, and that's our buddy Robert in Australia, and Susan there in Massachusetts. Thank you, Susan, and thank you, Robert. So all told, if we can knock out that last $180 this evening, then I don't have to say a word about fundraising Thursday or Friday of this week, and wouldn't that be wonderful? And we wouldn't even have to have a Friday on the front porch miracle or anything like that. So that's where we stand. If you want to help out, of course, the PayPal button is over at HeadOn.live. Just click it if you'd like to be one of the help us have 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever number of new subscribers on the 27th of the month. Just click that make this a recurring monthly donation or whatever button there, and you will have set it and forget it. and it'll be just easy, and you'll know the 27th, boom, done, and you'll get your, you will get thanked at the beginning of the program on the 27th, because the overnight crew, well, it comes in when I'm not on the air, so I always like to make sure we get our thank yous out at the beginning of the program. So thanks, Susan, and thanks, Robert, and thanks, Mark, for getting us within striking distance of finishing off the month. And remember, if we finish off the month, then Ralphs, who created the Trash Fits Walker Stand Challenge, is going to kick in an extra $25 for this month's installment of the challenge. So that'll be very, very helpful as well. Okay, then. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and brethren and sistren, I want you to know that the little old blue-haired ladies got a little inspired. My brother-in-law is an absolute genius with boiled shrimp. Nobody puts on a shrimp boil quite like he does. And I told him, I gave him a vague approximation of how he goes about doing it. So the little old blue-haired ladies decided they were tired of frying and smoking and grilling and beaning and whatnot, and so they declared it was shrimp boil prayer meeting Wednesday. They went down to the Wiggling Pig, and that's not where they got the shrimp, but they went down to the Wiggling Pig and got some of those little tiny red potatoes, and they got some corn, and they went across the river to the bigger grocery stores and got boxes of crab boil and lemons and a couple of cans of cheap beer. And I want to tell you, whoo, mercy, when they drained those shrimp and that corn, and we had some Old Bay seasoning to sprinkle on the corn, everybody went wild. And there was some potato salad to go along with it, and the usual stuff. They didn't fool with any hush puppies. The little old blue-haired ladies were sick and tired of frying things, like I said. And it's always fun to watch people at a shrimp boil, because you've got two kinds of people in this world. There's the patient people who will peel and peel and peel until they got a big old pile of peeled shrimp and then go at it. And then there's the people who just don't have that kind of patience and will peel one and eat it, and peel one and eat it, and peel one and eat it. And it was about a 50-50 split in the congregation there in the fellowship hall. But, I mean, there wasn't a shrimp remaining. And then for dessert, they whipped up some of that quick and easy key lime pie with Eagle brand milk and lime juice and over a graham cracker crust, and well, they had about eight of them, and they, well, the deacons fell on, I don't know how they do it, the deacons, they had already plumb chock full of shrimp, and fell on those key lime pies with a will. It meant that the little ones had to come up with their magnifying glasses and try to at least, you know, get a little crumble of the graham cracker crust here and there, but that's about all there was left of that. And then, of course, the deacons, well, they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs and wandered out into the parking lot, looking at the sinners and saying, "Hey, you got a light?" And so they stood there smoking with the sinners until such time as Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door with the horn solar-powered cattle prod, and They recognized the symbolism and the significance of it, and the little red light that lights up real bright when she presses the button, and if there's any humidity in the air, there's a little bit of a crackle, and they don't take much convincing. And so all of a sudden, the lit cigarettes that were just dropped. Brother Deacon Gerald over at the Building and Grounds Committee hates that, but got to sweep up after every prayer meeting. But I mean, they put wings to heel. And they blew past Sister Carol and the cattle prod. They blew through the vestibule, past that bowl of desiccate and butter mints, down the center aisle, and brethren and sister, and they're waiting right here. They got the heavy brass-bound, velvet-lined PayPal button-installed collection plates in their hot little hands, and they're getting ready to move amongst us as the minister of music comes up with the offertory hymn. Now, remember, all we need is 18 folks at $10, or 10 people at $18, or two people at one person at 180, or two people at 90, or four at 45, eight at 22.50, 16 at 11 and a quarter. One way or the other, that's all we need, and we're done with the month of June, and we will have ourselves a prayer meeting Wednesday miracle. So, Brother Minister of Music, if you would come forward, please, and lead us in the offertory hymn. Amen. Hallelujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
How ting tang walla walla bing bang. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sister, and glory to prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. I trust all the bellies are full of bolt shrimp. You don't pronounce the H. It's shrimp. Boiled shrimp and corn on the cob and potatoes all seasoned with that wonderful boiling, them wonderful boiling spices. And you're ready for a wonderful, wonderful prayer meeting and Bible study this evening here. I'm calling on you now, brethren and sistren. I'm a calling upon you to get up out of your seats and onto your feet and screech and scrooch and wiggle and waggle and waddle and come on down and get out of the pews and don't leave any pew behind you and watch because there's faces there behind you. And come on down that blood red aisle and help glory fall upon your knees at the altar. Hey, amen. And feel the healing rays of common sense a flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Ponerized Pontiff, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Magnificent Mufti, Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Yes, yes, live from the Cathedral of Common Sense. Amen. And amen. Brethren and sistren, we have to have a little chat here. By the way, the plates come back empty. I'll just keep them passing around there if that's all right by y'all. Not gonna block the door anymore. Brother Deacon Gerald won't let me do that. Said the Surf Pro bill was absolutely astronomical the last time I tried that little stunt, so we won't be doing that no more. But brethren and sisters, we got to have a little talk about what it means to have God a talking to you. Because we've got a we got a story, and brethren and sisters, it comes to us from Rat Cheer in almost level West by Cole Trump Virginia stand, and it has to do with the saving power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it does. Brethren and sisters, it comes to us from you wouldn't know it, but I do. A little community called Chapmanville in Logan County here in almost level West by Cole Trump Virginia stand. And it's a story of faith. It's a story of faith about a man by the name of Leslie Kelly. One can imagine he probably had it rough growing up in a place like almost level West by Cole Trump Virginia stand. Leslie did. 36 years, Brother Leslie Kelly has been on the earth. Now, by way, brethren and sistren, of introduction, I'm going to have to refresh your recollections a mite. Do you remember, brethren and sistren, a few months back when Ms. Joy Behar over to The View got herself in terrible, terrible trouble with the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians here in Merca? Do you remember what got her into that trouble, brethren and sistren? Remember what it was? I do. Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek had gone out in public talking about how he heard voices, about specifically how he knowed it was God Almighty talking directly to him, Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek. Because Mike Pencilneck Geek just innately knows what God sounds like. Sounds like either John Huston or Cecil B. DeMille. Right, yeah. And so he talked about how God talked to him personal-like. And Joy Behar over to The View, because she's a heathen sinner. I once made the mistake of thinking she was probably bound for hell because she was Jewish, too. But no, She's raised all Catholic like. That means she's one of your idol worshiping Mary worshipers who takes her orders from the Pope at Rome. Ms. Joy Behar suggested that anybody who hears voices is probably in need of mental health treatment, because generally speaking, hearing voices is one of your major symptoms of not being okay betwixt your ears. And hoo-wee, brethren and sistren, didn't the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians just have a plum, purple, polka-dotted conniption with crocheted tails? I mean, they went wild. They wanted her fired from ABC's The View. They wanted her cast out into the outer darkness, or at least out of New York City. Oh, they wanted Ms. Joy Behar to live in poverty for the rest of her days, because how dare she say that somebody hearing God's voice would be crazy-like. And because the suit's over to the ABC was afraid that they might lose some advertising revenues because the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians, well, their faith is kind of weakly-like, and if their God gets criticized or questioned, then they have a conniption, and they start calling advertisers and saying, what are you doing advertising on a program with a heathen harlot like Joy Behar on it? And so, lo and behold, Joy Behar had a telephone conversation with Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek, in which she abased herself before him and apologized all over herself for ever daring to think that he might be nuttier than a Christmas fucking fruitcake because he hears voices in his head. Right. Well, brethren and sistren, it was then established that in terms of the broader culture, here in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, hearing voices is no longer a sign of mental illness, but rather that you have become, you've been made one of the elect that God Almighty decides to have a little chit-chat with now and then. And this brings us, brethren and sistren, to 36-year-old Brother Leslie Kelly of Chapmanville, West Virginia. Because God decided to talk to Brother Leslie Kelly, 36 years old, of Chapmanville, West Virginia, just the same as he talks to Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek. The problem is, sometimes your Almighty gets a little... Well, I mean, if the person hearing the voices ain't crazy, then maybe sometimes, you know, Almighty God has, you know, that time of the universe or something, and doesn't exactly behave in a godlike fashion. And so it was, not too awful long back, that God Almighty, the author of the universe, the creator, the most powerful being in or out of space-time, took notice of the little family of 36-year-old Leslie Kelly of Logan County, almost level West by Cole, Trump Genistan. And he whispered to him, God did, it whispered to Leslie, hey, Leslie, you know who this is, right? Yeah, it's God. Could I be talking to you like this if I wasn't God? No, I'm not the devil. The devil would never do something like this. Oh, it's me, God, Yahweh, Jehovah, the big one, the nameless one, El. Yeah, Allah to some people. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, I need you to do something for me, Les. Did you know that your wife and children, they need a good baptizing, Les? And none of this pissant sprinkling like they do over them, like them Methodists do. I'm a full immersion kind of God, Les. So I need you to make sure that you baptize your wife and young'uns real good. Baptize them for a nice long time. Like till the bubbles stop rising, Les, that's what I mean. Till there ain't no more bubbles coming up. That's the kind of baptizing I want, because I'm Almighty God, and you best not do what I tell you to do, son. Because the next thing you know, I can make monkeys fly out your butt, because I'm God. Yeah. You got it? You're going to baptize the wife and young'uns for a good long time. I told him it wasn't the devil. I think he bought it. Oh, shit. Is this thing still on? So that's what happened. He told us, and of course, you gotta read your Bible real close, like, because in the New Testament there, it says that women are to obey their husbands as the church obeys Christ, and that they are to, and that women are to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. So he looked at his wife and said, "Wife, it's time to submit, for I must baptize thee." And then I got baptized the youngins. So they, I don't have this part of it in detail, but I reckon they used the bathtub. Mm-hmm. And he and Mrs. Kelly had a pair of young'uns, a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. And there was Mama too. I reckon he took to baptizing Mama first. And I don't reckon Mama at first understand just how thoroughly old Leslie, in the name of Jesus, because God done talked to him, intended to baptize her. He wanted to baptize her, it turns out, wanted to baptize her right into heaven. Yes, indeed. Clean of sin, deader than Pharaoh's cat, and whoop, right up to heaven. But when she Mrs. Kelly realized how thoroughly her husband intended to baptize her in a sort of eternal way, well, she fought him off, probably through the dark powers of Satan, and run off while he took to trying to baptize the little ones. And she called the popo. And a little bit later, a sheriff's deputy from the Logan County Sheriff's Office showed up, and because he's one of them secular humanists, interfered with all the baptizing. And Deputy Barry Mines, Jr., asked Leslie Kelly why wouldn't he stop, since being as how the little ones and the wife was a-screaming. Well, anybody who knows their scripture knows that if you're screaming, you're not submitting to your husband as the church submits to Christ. But the heathen deputy said, "Were they not crying and screaming, trying to get away from you?" And 36-year-old Leslie Kelly of Chapmanville, almost level west by a coal Trump Virginia stand, responded, "Yeah, they were. I was just holding them underwater, trying to baptize them, because I want them to go to heaven." Mm-hmm. The questions continued because people are faithless that way in this day and age. And they tried to figure out why it was that Brother Kelly decided they needed to be baptized to death. I mean, I think it's a little bit incivil to use a word like drought. Goodness me, no. And he said, well, he done it because God told him to do it. Yes, absolutely. And then, defying the will of God, Deputy Barry Mines Jr. placed Leslie Kelly under arrest. Yes. And now, Brother Kelly is cooling his heels in the Southwestern Regional Jail on a $100,000 bond on charges of domestic battery, child abuse creating the risk of serious injury, and attempted murder. Now, somebody needs to get hold of Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek and let him know about the persecution of this Christian taking place down here in the Trumpiest place in Merca. Because this is clearly a case of God talking to somebody and the secular authorities not treating him, under the masterpiece rules that were enunciated by the Supreme Court a week or so ago, not treating him with the due deference that every evangelical Christian is now entitled to under the law of the new 90 states of America. It is obvious that Brother Kelly here had a closely held, deep religious belief that he needed to baptize his wife and children to death because God told him to, and we all know that somebody that hears God's voice is definitely not crazy because the Vice President of the United States has done told us so. When will the persecution end, brethren and sistren? When? If she had submitted to him like Christ submits to the church and had accepted his guidance and his instruction and his leadership in the home, she would already be up in heaven sitting there plucking away at her harp and singing hosannas and thanking him for sending her and her two little young'uns to Jesus. 'Cause that is what God told him to do. He heard God say it, and he acted upon the word of the Lord. Ha! This is obviously a bunch of insane bullshit. But where's the line? I mean, if God whispers in Mike Pence's ear and tells him that a woman doesn't have a right to make choices about how her reproductive system works, what's the difference between that and God whispering in Leslie Kelly's ear and telling him that his wife and children need to hurry up and get baptized right up to heaven? What's the damn difference? I mean, if I was to dial up a competent mental health professional right here and right now, I don't know as we could reach something resembling consensus as to what makes one case legitimate and the other not. Because hearing the voice of God, well, it don't get much more subjective than that. Not to wear the topic out, but the Red Hen Restaurant over in Lexington, Virginia. What if the woman who runs that joint had said that she heard the voice of God telling her not to serve Sarah Hasselbeck sandbags? Well, where would Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek have been then? He would have had to say, well, that wasn't really God, that was the devil. The devil appears in many guises, not just blackjack dealers. And it's clear that she was hearing the voice of Satan because Sarah is such a fine, fine Christian lady. It present, well, you know, tis a puzzlement. No worries, Brother Usher Steve. Brother Usher Steve says, sorry I'm late, I was so stuck in the traffic. Please accept my apologies for my unearliness. Steve understands the language of the cathedral. He's a student of our theology. Now that he's here, he does add, Brother Usher Steve, ain't God good? And God is love, y'all. Mm-hmm. Note coming in from Silent R. Lamar, one card short of a full deck. Mr. Bob, if God said thou shalt not kill or cause the death of others, how do these Christians expect to enter heaven? Please tell how can you get into heaven when you kill? Well, that's the saving grace of Christ Jesus. Your Protestant religions say all you got to do is, I mean, you can slaughter till the blood runs as high as the fetlocks of a horse, whatever a fetlock is. But then all you got to do is say, sorry, Jesus. And Jesus says, no worries, mate. You're forgiven. Because sometimes I like, we imagine it, Jesus gets all white and everything, but sometimes I like to think of Jesus as just a laid-back Australian. Because he's real easygoing. There was actually a dust up in the Roman Catholic Church in the years after World War II, because the man who became Pope John the 23rd had in his previous career before he got all poped up, he had said that Adolf Hitler was definitely not in heaven. And that got him in some seriously deep shit. Because that meant that Jesus wouldn't forgive Adolf Hitler. When it's abundantly clear that if Adolf Hitler said, forgive me, Jesus, Jesus would go, die, you only killed a few million, tens of millions. Yeah, 15 million, give or take, you know, the whole war you started. But did you just say, forgive me? Jawohl, I did. Well, good, you're forgiven, Adolf. Come on in. See how it works? So, Silent R. Lamar, you can stop your worrying, because the saving grace of Jesus Christ will cover just about any sin that an evangelical fundamentalist, good God-fearing, etc., cares to commit. So don't you worry another second about it. The important part is that you not die unshriven. Because you gotta ask for that forgiveness. And it's right there for you. Abundant grace without end. Yes. Ain't it just wonderful? Mm-hmm. But now poor Leslie Kelly's going to get persecuted by the secular authorities. And maybe do jail time for just obeying the commands of the voice of God that he done heard in his noggin, just like the Vice President of the new United States of America does. And see, you can't even apply a standard of, well, you know, if God's telling you to do something mean, it's probably not God. Because most of the stuff that God tells Mike Pence to do is pretty goddamn evil. Depriving people of their civil rights, cheating people out of their constitutional rights, subjugating the weak. Just because God doesn't tell Mike Pence to take a sharp knife and go out and slit somebody's throat in the middle of on the sidewalk along the Naval Observatory doesn't mean that his actions are any less wicked. But for the rest of us, everybody who isn't a Christian, okay? Everybody who is not a Christian If you hear a voice, if you start hearing voices, you're probably not okay. But because the Supreme Court in the last couple of weeks has gone a long way toward establishing evangelical Christianity as the state religion, if evangelicals hear voices, it's God, and you can't say anything mean about them. Because they're not crazy. They have a deeply held religious belief, and they've got faith to move mountains. A lot of Christians here in West Virginia, the faith they use to move mountains is roughly the equivalent of 25 cruise missiles landed on that mountain at the same time. God would not have given us ammonium nitrate and fuel oil explosives if he had not meant us to move mountains. Glory. See how it works? But that ain't all we got. Now, this is not necessarily a story of Christian faith in action, although I reckon it's highly likely that the man in question is, in fact, a Christian. 51-year-old Reginald Scott C. of Almost Level West by Cole, Trump, Virginia, Stan, was moved. He was moved to express his deeply held beliefs in Lexington, Virginia, as a matter of fact. And once again, he was persecuted by the secular authorities. Because Mr. C, well, he traveled to Lexington, Virginia, to the site of the Red Hen, which has been closed since Sarah Hasselbeck's sandbags got a sad. And you have to realize that there's a that this isn't something that just kind of happened. No. Over on that program he runs, in between the ads for the chocolate chicken bone paleo beverage, Alex Jones called for the weirdos that listen to his and watch his whatever program to take action in regard to the Red Hen.
Wag the dog, all that. In movies, everybody knows, oh, people stage stuff. And in reality, the left's always getting caught putting swastikas on their houses or fake crosses or burnings in their yards. And 99% of the time, it's fake.
You got that? All the people that get crosses burned in their yards and swastikas painted on their houses, they paint the swastikas and burn the crosses themselves so that they can persecute the poor little innocent fucking Nazis. Right. You got it? Yeah.
Like night follows day, I'm not saying the owner of the Red Hen is going to stage something against her facility, but like night follows day, if somebody's smart, if you want to dedicate something to your country, you need to go sit out in front. I wish I had the money. I'd put PIs. If I had billions of dollars, I would sit every day, have teams of PIs all over the country. I'd say, get on this site. And I would just have PIs watch the Red Hen show when somebody firebombs it, God forbid, or somebody knocks the windows out, or somebody paints a swastika on the door. We can follow them to their house, and you know who they're going to be, don't you? We know. It'll be something like the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL, Antifa, which is just college professors in mask, the Lone Rangers going out and hitting women in the head with bike locks. But I don't have the personnel to do that or the money. But I'm telling you.
Yeah, it needs to sell just a little bit more chocolate chicken bone paleo malt beverage, and then he can. I mean, he's only breaking in some $30, $40 million a year. He can't afford to hire a couple of PIs to stake out the Red Hen.
The left is going to hit the Red Hen in the next 48 hours. 99% chance. And when they do hit it, We can blow their operation in another devastating victory if somebody just politely goes and sits there and watches it.
Yeah. Only problem is, 51-year-old Reginald Scott C. of almost level West by Cole, Virginia's Trump Genius stand, is not a lefty. He's not from Antifa. He's not a member of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. He's not a member of the Southern Poverty Law Center. He's just a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian who may, for all we know, have heard the call, or maybe he acted on the tweet from Donald Trump talking about what an awful place the Red Hen is, because a shit ton of weirdos have descended upon that location, including 51-year-old Reginald Scott C. of almost level West by Cole Trump Genius stand, who took a hand prop with him. And yesterday afternoon, he threw a bunch of chicken shit. No, really. At the Red Hen restaurant because, well, you know, civility. Oddly enough, this story has come out, and I have yet to hear Andrea Mitchell or Stephanie Ruhle or Mika do any hand-wringing or pearl-clutching about the need for civility and the need for people not to hurl bags full of chicken feces at a restaurant. And by the way, 51-year-old Reginald Scott C. of almost level West by Cole Trump Genius stand, as he hurled his parcel of chicken feces at the restaurant, was heard to yell the word, MAGA! Mm-hmm. They're picketing, the weirdos are, the Red Hen. They're carrying signs like that say things like, homos are full of demons. And one with a Bible verse on it says, unless they repent, let God burn them, paren, LGBT, close paren. That the LGBT part is not in the Bible there at 2 Peter 2:6. They brought their MAGA Trump flag, and they also brought their Corey Stewart for Senate flag, or sign. Yeah. Like I said, 51-year-old Reginald Scott C. of almost level West by Cole Trump Genius stand was arrested by the secular humanist authorities and was charged with littering and disorderly conduct. Interestingly, the maggot with the sign that says "Let them burn" has not been charged with making terroristic threats because, of course, the maggot cited a Bible verse, and if you were to charge them with making a terroristic threat based on a Bible verse, well, daggummit, that would not be showing due deference to the closely and deeply held religious beliefs of the person who thinks it would be a fine thing to set fire to homosexual people. Because God is love, y'all. And Jesus loves you. That's just a real story. Brother Usher Steve says, why, just the other day I was painting F-A-O-T on my front door and hanging a no gays allowed sign in my window. Maybe that was no gays, A-L-O-U-D. Maybe you got to be real quietly gay at Steve's house. I don't know. Oh, but brethren and sistren, let me suggest that accustomed is probably not the word I want to use or get used to, but it's going to be a whole lot more of this, brethren and sistren. Note coming from Clarity on the topic that you all probably already know about, the announced retirement of that Kennedy kid from the Supreme Court. Mitch wins. Knight takes queen off the board. Women are a minority, now unprotected except by the hand that controls her privates. And it's true. We'll maybe talk about that some more here in a little bit. But I wanted, since it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and, I wanted to make sure that we got a real good view, a real close understanding of the loving kindness of Christianity. And look, please don't tell me that these people aren't real Christians. We don't cut that kind of slack to the Islamic world. The Supreme Court of the United States just upheld a Muslim ban just yesterday. Well, it's also a Venezuelan ban, but I mean, you get the idea. Somewhere along the way, Christianity's going to have to clean house and have a, I don't know, maybe another Council of Nicaea where they sort out some of this stuff. Because all these professing Christians believe all the right things. They believe everything you have to believe to get the Frisbees and wheat checks and the pie in the sky when you die. Absolutely. Oh, by the way, a note coming in from Lee in New York. A little jingle for Lee. If I hear voices, it must have been an upgrade to Cortana. And a little inside Windows humor there. Yeah, right, yeah. But I want to introduce you to Lee Valentine. Ain't that just charming? Lee Valentine. Lee Mitchell. Lee Mitchell, or Lee Valentine, expressed her feelings about immigrants. Okay? And you might want to get the hockey puck and the duct tape, because this is not going to be pleasant. She's talking with Butch Maltby and Chris MacDonald. And she says that, well, you'll hear what she says.
Jim Acosta from CNN basically sarcastically was chiding Sarah Sanders and saying, well, you show me in the Bible where, you know, you're supposed to separate a family and break a family up for the sake of political purposes. And I'm going to tell Jim Acosta to his face right now, you show me
Jim
in the Bible
watching
where you're supposed to be breaking the law in a country, because you're not supposed to be breaking the law in a country.
Romans
you're supposed
13.
To be respecting the laws of the country that you live in. And if these people come into these countries and they know good and well, Butch and Lee, they're breaking the country, then I'm sorry. Their families is not America's fault. It's their fault. And they need to get with that program. That's what Jeff Sessions was basically saying. He was saying, look, I've got sympathy for the family, but they must understand when you break the law, there are consequences. And if you know you're here illegally, guess what? Your family is at risk of being broken up. because that's what happens in a law-abiding society. If you want to get legal, get in line, become a citizen. You don't have to worry about your family being broken up.
Yeah, and it's really, really scary. Some of the individuals that are sneaking across the border, and I was talking to a Border Patrol like top person, and he just said, Lee, you cannot believe rape after rape after rape.
Because she was talking to a Border Patrol top person, which if you sort of unpack that, means that she could very well have been talking to some guy who was talking to a flashlight on the street corner, but never mind.
Children below 10 years old engaging in sexual activity, all kinds of sin and disgrace and darkness, the pit of the pits. And so we're not getting the top of the line echelon people coming over this border. We're getting criminals. I mean,
that's
total
right.
Criminals that are.
Yeah, that's not your top of the line and top echelon type people. That's your criminals. I guess there's Lee Valentine, because she's such a fine, fine Christian, doesn't realize that some of your some of the folks who aren't your top of the line, top echelon people are called poor folks. They're called people who are fleeing from having their brains scattered all over the street in front of their homes, because that's kind of the reality in places like El Salvador and Guatemala and Honduras. But, you know, they don't really matter in that regard, because they're not your top-of-the-line, top-echelon people, which is actually the people that Jesus Christ really cares about.
Are so debased, and their minds are just gone in the unclean. They're murderers. They're treacherous. They're God-haters.
Yeah, God-haters. That's why they're all... That's why they all carry rosaries with them, and that's why there's actually there's one fellow whose job is to carry out the garbage at one of these concentration camps. And he decided to look into what he was throwing away one day. And now he's got a collection of hundreds, if not thousands, of rosaries. You know, because they're devil people, those people who are crossing the border. Darkness. Yes. And as we move toward the top of the hour, I want to see if I can find... a piece of video... Betsy down in Texas alerted me to this. You know, she does a lot of work with the immigrant community. And well, dang it. They had a meeting in a church to discuss the immigrant issue and the crime against humanity. Wait a minute, maybe I can find it this way. Might take me a minute. But this, if I can find the video, I want you to actually, I want you to hear it. There we go. I hope it's still there. Yes, it is. This is from a church meeting to discuss the immigration crisis. And this is one of your good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians. Who bears, bears a strange, a slight resemblance to Owen Wilson. But it's not Owen Wilson. I want to make that very clear. Hopefully you didn't put away the hockey puck. Now, where in the hell did that noise come from? I bet I know. No, it wasn't from there. Well, yes, it was. All right, get the hockey puck and duct tape out. Here's a genuine, bona fide, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Christian, amosexual, fundamentalist Christian from Texas discussing, his view on the immigration crisis.
Confinement facility. Incarceration is what happens when you break our laws. Now, if you were to come onto my property without permission and you were asked to leave probably twice, maybe once, and refuse to do so, you're going to get a bullet in the face.
By the way, notice the cadence of the speech here. I've seen this a couple of times now. See if he doesn't remind you of the cadences of Julius Geezer. Now, we're a few seconds into this, and he's already said that he would gladly shoot someone in the face. Because Texas. And because Jesus loves us.
And don't try me on that one. We cannot have a refugee camp covering this entire state with hundreds of millions of illiterate, uneducated, and for the benefit of Commissioner Wong over here, illiterate and uneducated is basically the same thing. I'm sure I doubt that you knew that. Disease-ridden, from a kleptocracy with a criminal mindset, carrying drugs, importing fighting age young men who may very well be from, let's say, Iraq, Afghanistan, someplace like that, in a baseball cap, a t-shirt, blue jeans, and sneakers. You can't tell. They all look the same. Yeah. You can put an Arab terrorist with a bomb in blue jeans, baseball cap, sneakers, and ship him across the border with, you know, an armload of fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, whatever. And he's got to leave as soon as he's caught. If he doesn't, shoot him. That's just the way it's got to be. You can't go to New Zealand, period.
Really? We can't go to New Zealand, period. I had no idea there was a travel ban. I had no idea that New Zealand had gone all North Korea. Son of a gun. If I was New Zealand, I wouldn't let this Cletus in either, but never mind.
Unless you're a scientist or a doctor or somebody with some skills. Speaking of skills, one of the reasons these kids have to come over here, these hormonal young men, and it's not little kids. The bedwetters would like you to think that there's a bunch of little kids being locked up. Stop wetting the bed and admit that these are 18, 19-year-old men invading our country. And the reason they have to be here is because you're too lazy to mow your own yard.
I got nothing. I think I just conjured Robert in Australia. Subject line, making America safe. Gee, Bob, it's beginning to sound like the only way to make America safe is to kill everyone else in the world. There are those who I think feel that way. But Robert, while you're at it, you're a hell of a lot closer to New Zealand than I am. Are the only people who can get into New Zealand doctors and engineers and scientists? Because that's going to be a real new one on me. How the hell did they get all them damn hobbits over there to make them movies? I never heard of Frodo being no engineer nor no doctor. But this is the face. This is the face of American white bigotry. This is our American reality in 2018. These are the people who, with considerable assistance, handed us Donald J. Trump. And they're tired of being peaceable like. They would like to get the go-ahead to start shooting. Your permit patties and your barbecue Beckys are tired of calling 911. They want to get killing. And the cold Civil War is getting a little toasty. I don't know. Who says that kind of shit in public? Well, I'll tell you who says that kind of shit in public. People who have been emboldened and empowered by Alex Jones, by Rush Limbaugh for 30 years, by Bill O'Reilly, by Sean Hannity, by Laura Ingraham, Michael Savage, he's kind of faded away. Glenn Beck as well, but he's going broke. And most importantly now, in the last year and a half, 2 years, by the guy who is now the President of the United States of America. This country is tearing itself to pieces. All of a sudden, a guy from West Virginia who just throws chicken shit at a restaurant and the Christian there who wants to set fire to homosexuals, well, they don't seem quite so out of the ordinary anymore, do they? Because like I've said before, there's one of these stories every damn day. And you're not going to see this cat on any of the major websites. This is just a video from somebody's Facebook. It's only been viewed 261 times. But this guy's a menace to society because he wants to start killing people yesterday for any reason or no reason or whatever reason that he can scrounge up. He has an urge toward homicide. Silent R. Lamar says, one of many wishes. Hello, world. I wish you would ban all Americans and American corporations from your lands to see how they like it. Careful what you wish for. Me, if it becomes absolutely necessary, like Jim said last night, naked if need be, it would be nice to know that one can leave this place when the full fascist takeover is complete. But I thought it might be a little bit instructive to hear a maniac like this guy. He's somebody's neighbor. And whoever's neighbor he is, I'd be a mite nervous. And he doesn't believe that the audio of those babies crying. Because they're all 18-year-old rapists and possible MS-13 Al-Qaeda ISIS terrorists. And he is scared shitless. And a terrified America, a terrorized America, is a dangerous America. Oh, let's check the mail again. Steve says, New Zealand, sorry, I'm on a writing binge. I have a client who's a Kiwi. I asked him about immigrating to New Zealand. His response, just move here, stay. They'll eventually just let you stay. This is the same country whose two candidates for prime minister had a beer drink off. So, yeah, New Zealand is extremely chill. Lee says, I think you were next to the truth. If hobbits are in New Zealand, where's Mordor? It must be there, too. I tell you, Mordor is not sending us their best. They are evil. They want to take over our land. Earlier, I had a note from Steve saying, I want to yell and scream and scratch these people's eyes out. Not writing allegorically, but I'm not interested in wasting my time with this condensed owl shit. Steve says, can I just say this? I wish we would start calling these pro-child kidnapping feckless C-words what they are. Sodomites. Yep, I know where he's going. Why do I say this? The sin of Sodom has nothing to do with sex. It has everything to do with not welcoming the stranger, or as we term it these days, the immigrant. Oh, by the way, Jesus was so much the law-abiding person. That's why they fucking executed him! It's dangerous to your health to adopt a policy of can't we all just be a little less shitty to each other? Somebody will kill you, whether it's Jesus or Gandhi or Dr. King. And even a few figures from Roman history, too. Hey, Steve did apologize, though. He said, I'm sorry about my language and clear rage in writing these days. Bob, I just can't stand by and not take the gloves off with these people. I don't feel the least bit guilty about my feelings toward these people. And by the way, one more thing. It's my fucking property, too. Right, because they forget that part. They're the only ones with property rights, the maggots. Steve asks, in your estimation, are these people profoundly ignorant or just hateful to their very core? I don't think we necessarily have to set up a dichotomy, Steve, because ignorance breeds hatefulness. Hey, what's the minuscule percentage of American citizens who actually own a passport, who have left this country, who have seen a little bit about how the rest of the world lives? It's minuscule. And I guess I have to add Tony Bourdain to the list of, God damn it, we kind of needed you. People like Joe Bagent, George Carlin, Hunter Thompson, Bourdain. Because once he got over the, look at this, I'm finally making some scratch. And he admitted he went through that. he realized that he had a special privilege that he could show to people in the United States that the rest of the world didn't suck, that there was a lot to like about the rest of the planet, that the rest of the planet wasn't just a life support system for this country of ours where we have 5% of the population and consume 25% of the resources. And that voice is silenced. And we are the poorer for it. Coming in from Robert in Australia, subject line, going to New Zealand. Anyone who wants to visit New Zealand is more than welcome. From the New Zealand government, to be eligible for immigration to New Zealand as a skilled migrant, you must meet the basic visa requirements. You must be under 56 years of age. Man. You and your family must meet all health, character, and English ability requirements. I think I got that covered. You must be able to meet a pass mark of 100 points in the point system to register an expression of interest. It's basically apply and you'll probably get to stay. Well, now. Under age 56, huh? That gives me about 6 months. Yeah, oh well, let's stay and fight. Would be kind of nice to move to Hobbiton, though. Then again, there's volcanoes and earthquakes and shit, and that's a little unsettling. Says the guy who lives in a toxic waste sacrifice zone. I know. Yeah, I betcha I could be handy somehow or another in New Zealand. So anyway, it's 17 minutes past the hour. We have $180 to raise this evening. And the deacons keep passing the plates, and they keep coming back empty. They've got a real thing on for barring the door and passing out the iced tea, but I've told them, no, we're never going to do that again. That was a terrible, terrible, terrible mistake. But it would be wonderful if I could drop a note to Ralph's and say, hey, we're done. The bonus challenge has been met. So, fundraising on Thursday and Friday just, ugh. I just got a note from Kathy saying that Mike's headed home. Yay! And they actually used all their machines that go ping and pin-cushioned him a while, and they found out what's wrong, and he's going to be okay, and he's going to be all right, and he's going to be fine, and he's going to be home as of this evening. It's wonderful news. Anybody want to talk, or shall I just filibobster the next 42 minutes away? Yeah, you're welcome to join in if you'd like. The phone number, of course, area code 304-574-8178. Or toll free 844-843-4676. And hey, just a reminder, that number, you can call from Canada and Mexico, too. So it offers an opportunity to our Canoodly and Mexican contingents. I don't think we've got a Mexican contingent. It would be really cool if we did. But if you can get involved in the program too now. And then of course there's Skype to Skype, and then that's always been from anywhere that isn't firewalled up, like, you know, China, Iran, North Korea, what have you. But Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Okay. So that's where it all stands. And just, we are, it's not like we're, without prayer meeting material. Oh, no, God. And since we had that goober from Texas, talking about how they're not really babies that are doing all that crying. Let's check in with a vile creature by the name of Gavin McInnes, who has some sort of a program. And he has no real sympathy for kidnapped children. Of course not. I'm sure he's a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian. And he, like Laura Ingraham, who said that our kiddie concentration camps are basically just like summer camps, he thinks they look like pretty cool places, too.
All right, so the big picture here is that all of these kids in cages and stuff you're seeing, that's all about optics. The pictures you're seeing are from Obama's administration. Look, you want to see the detention centers that Trump is putting our kids in? These kids, it looks like the Holiday Inn. I would like to stay here. They get 3 meals a day and 2 snacks. That's too much. Isn't that too much food? I have 1 meal a day. Sometimes 2. It's got pictures of Trump in it, but pictures of all presidents. This is the place you're trying to sneak into. This is General Lee. We burnt him. The music's weird. Who put up this video? I can't tell if it's a lefty. It looks awesome. That's not a prison. That looks like a fun place to hang. Look, you get pictures up on your wall. Anyway, everyone is lying to you about immigration and what these kids go through. And the left is being knowingly ignorant. It's willful ignorance. As Tucker Carlson pointed out, if you are so worried about families being separated, why do you advocate a welfare state where single mothers have a financial incentive to stay single moms and get rid of the dad? Shatter the black family, as long as it means more votes for them.
You know, they just—it's like catnip to them, isn't it? At welfare, you know your black welfare mothers—they get paid extra money every time they spit out a new kid. Just got to have more kids. The next thing you know, you're making $150,000 a year. If I had a nickel for every time I've heard a right winger say that shit. Well, you know, there's one way to sort this out. We could always put Gavin McInnes in one of those concentration camps and see how he likes it. And maybe when he decided he was tired of it and he wanted to leave, and he, oh no, I'm sorry, these things have locks on them and you can't leave, Gavin! They're fucking prisons, you piece of shit! Yeah, oh well. Yeah, I agree. Jason says POS. Absolutely. Of course, you can look him up and figure out who he is. He's not a nice person to begin with. that's the gist of it, hearing the McInnes clip. Robert Nostralia says, everyone's lying to you but me. And by the way, for those interested in New Zealand, Robert says, and they have a real national broadband network, not like the crap thing the Liberal government decided was all we need for the next 100 years in Australia. Jason, meanwhile, says, yeah, go ahead, feed the POS only one meal. And listen to him piss and moan. Oh, yeah. A little more travel information on New Zealand from Robert in Australia. And it is a beautiful country with wonderful people. The Ring movies just scratched the surface. Listen, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to have to sit down and have a little talk with Agnes about the fact that... we got 6 months or so to get our application in. She's got skills. She's a nurse. I got skills. And who knows, maybe on the other side of the international dateline, I could do this program at 2:00 in the morning or something. Sure, why not? Oh, well, let's run over and check in with Todd down in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, Todd.
Well, Republican kid.
What's that, sir?
on them bubble gum kids.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Set up here. Yeah, the man next door, he didn't play your soul. We done heard it. You know, we're laughing at the crack. I mean, you know, we're laughing at these things we talk about. You know, we retire folk. So, you know, sit up.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Testify.
Set the chair out. You know, get our liquor. You know, one day Sam get it, one day I get it, next man get it. You know. Set up on the tree and see the liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And tell you something. Ain't nothing wrong with Trump now. And a man trying to make this country correct. You know, you see the young boy in a rock up and down the street. They're smoking a goddamn reefer and sticking up the block. They ain't the brain on turning really. They ain't got no sense to pull them bonds up. Goddamn chin.
You do that way. You do that way too well. You know that, right?
Don't be fucking stopping. Look, all right, I can't do it no more. No, but I'm telling you.
It begins to make your brains leak out your ears, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I get to a certain point, and because this is real shit. It's funny, but we're laughing. Guess what? This is man, we're some deep doo-doo.
It got piled higher and deeper today.
This is shocking, and to hear some Democratic people questioning if we should play Smash Mouth or not. What? Questioning.
How much Smash Mouth can they play? Didn't we kind of put the filibuster to bed over Gorsuch?
This is true, but there are ways to corral. We only need three. We need three people to come over. We need three copperheads. You know. But this is, you know, honest to God. And finally, I heard people talking about what we have been talking about for the past couple of years in terms of some of the decisions, you know, that this Supreme Court has made. First of all, choosing a president. Then the biggest thing, Citizens United, I sent you an email a couple of weeks ago. And you know what's funny, because I was listening to the Friday show, and I think I heard Scott, the attorney, not Scott.
Billable Rick.
Correct. Yeah, and he was saying exactly what I had written in that email. This is like a mirror. Other people have been saying it, you know, but it's almost like we're right back to that end of the industrial age, the robber baron age, you know, right before Standard Oil got broken up, you know, just free for all. They said go for it with the gambling and the mergers. Now this is going to be. But I don't want to, you know, me. I'm not trying to take up too much time because you know, I know other people want to talk. But seriously, this is like, why are people even discussing saying no? Because you know what, they turned Obama into three-fifths of a fucking president. By doing that shit, holding up Garland. And Garland was no damn gem. You understand? That's like marrying a potato sack. I mean, come on.
No, I mean, Garland was not going to be the second coming of William Brennan.
Please explain that to some people, because I apparently didn't get it. Okay, you know, and this is, you know what? Honest to God, look how fast this has moved. Last time I talked to you, I was like, I remember I said this. I was like, man, in 3 weeks, anything could happen. You know, these people, listen, this is a fascist tsunami. Let me tell you something. Matter of fact, this is a long title, honest to God. The mentally ill fascist Russian asset, also known as the dotard president of the United States. Now, I don't even know what the acronym is for that. I have to write it down. It's just it's too much. But apparently it's all true. I mean, you know, because this is like my hobby. I keep up with this shit. So, I mean, but it's not me. You don't have to, you know, I'm just talking shit. I'm just some guy calling it. Who do I know? But if he's not a Russian asset, what the fuck is? Did you see him cringe? He was like, yeah, well. Or when is it going to be, Mr. President? Well, I'll know in a couple hours. Okay, you know what? Imagine he's a woman, a young woman, and the parents are asking her, so when are you going out with John? Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm waiting on him to call. I don't know, in a couple hours. Every parent has fucking had that. What the fuck is going on? This asshole piece of shit. Fuck him. He is what he is. And fuck, you know, middle America, I'm sorry you're fucking stupid. Ain't my fucking problem. And I'm sorry you can't fuck your wife enough. Ain't my fucking problem. Don't get mad because you're...
You know one of the first things that popped into my mind when I saw that Anthony Kennedy had retired, and he's been under pressure to retire. Mm-hmm. Because they want that 6-3 margin, and they know that's where they... You know, a couple of things. I remember when Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman on the Supreme Court, was touted as a principled conservative with a deep and abiding love for the United States of America and its democratic processes and traditions. And, well, by the time we got around to Bush v. Gore, it turned out she was just another goddamn right-wing political hack who voted party over Constitution, party over principle, party over people, party over all.
Didn't she regret that? I think I saw an interview where she actually regretted that.
Act in haste, repent in leisure, right?
That's what it was, right? You know, right, exactly.
But Kennedy knows because he was part of the decision that was announced yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The Muslim ban. He knows who the president is, and he reviewed that record that showed how many vile, vicious, hateful things Donald Trump said about people from other countries who were of a religion that Trump didn't approve of. Kennedy can't not know about him calling for the slaughter of the Central Park Five, even though they were not guilty. Okay?
Right.
And he knows all of the wickedness and evil that abides within the pustulant corpus of Donald Trump.
Go back to when they got.
And he still and he still handed him an appointment. And in that moment, you know, I've never been a Kennedy fan. Oh, he's a swing vote. Bullshit. He was a little attention whore, is what he was.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted everybody kissing his ass for his opinion, so that he'd be the fifth vote one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reminded, and I mean, it just. Ding, you know, on a little brain cell up there. When I saw the news, I immediately flashed to Denny Green. Remember Denny Green, Coach Denny Green?
No, refresh my memory, please.
What? Coach the Vikings, coach the Cardinals.
Okay, right. Oh yeah.
He was fairly famously. He had a certain equanimity about him, but he kind of lost his shit one time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I got the clip here. Hang on.
4 picks against Grossman and 2 fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? Shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's... We played them in the third game. Everybody played 3 quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were.
Bingo! Anthony Kennedy is who we thought he was. Just another right-wing Republican piece of shit hack. Any questions?
Yes.
I mean, is that fair?
It's more than fair.
Nobody who...
He played the fence. He's like, I like the way that people think I'm on the fence. And I just... Because, see, like you said, he would just dance in and out just to, when he felt like he wanted some attention. See, otherwise, he was in the shadow.
Nobody who loves...
Like, well, we don't know what Kennedy's going to do. We don't know what Kennedy's going
to
do.
Oh, let's pay attention to Kennedy. He loves the attention.
Yeah.
Nobody who loves this country gives Donald Trump another Supreme Court appointment. Nobody. Republican, Democrat, nobody. You don't give this monster in the White House not one jot, not one tittle, not an iota, not a scintilla juris more of power than he already has.
You're not making your point, Bob.
But Anthony Kennedy did. Now, all kinds of stuff roared through my mind when I saw the news. You know, toward the end of his life...
Are you ranting? Are you ranting?
A little bit.
I'm just curious. Okay.
Thurgood Marshall had a lot of health problems.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point during the Nixon administration... Thurgood Marshall was hospitalized. And Nixon decided to put up a death watch. And so he put some of his little minions outside Thurgood Marshall's door. And one day, Marshall got out a piece of paper and a pen and wrote something and folded it over and called one of the minions over and said, go give this to your boss. And when Nixon opened it, all it said was, not yet. And Marshall hung on for another... because there was no way Thurgood Marshall, if he had an ounce of strength in him, was going to give his seat to Richard fucking Nixon.
You know what? And I thought, well, some people thought that was a rumor. I know what you're saying with that. So, and look at what I'm not going to use that word for him. Look at what Ruth is dealing with. Ruth is, look how strong women are. What a wonderful, beautiful woman. That woman, if you've ever known anyone with pancreatic cancer, or any type of pancreatic issue. I've seen people drop dead in months. My best friend died of that shit. I mean, my college, you know, your college best friend, things you do everything with. You know what I mean? That was like my brother, man. And he was young. He was just gotten married. I mean, I helped him get the house together. And you go, you just shrivel up and die. It's terrible. But look at Ruth, man. Now that woman, you understand where I'm going with this. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And look at him. He's stepping out. But, you know, fuck him then. You know, what a dick. Sorry. That's what you mean. In essence, that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. What a dick.
What a dick. You see what's going on. You know, almost, I'm a number of different minds on this. It's almost like, where does he get off? He's supposed to understand what's going on now. Like, things are too turbulent. It's almost like we almost need a moratorium. I mean, I'm trying to be, you know, in other words, I'm trying to put myself in centrist America. I'm not trying to be partisan. Otherwise, I would say, oh, come on. You know what I really feel, but I'm trying to be fair. You know me. I try to be fair, and then I knock that man down. You know what I'm saying? I'll set up the argument. I'll knock it down. But so I'm trying to be fair. However, we have a clearly, everything is wrong about this whole presidency. Everything. And this is not the time. You know, election is not that long from now. This shouldn't even be an issue. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to apply the what are we going to call it now? The McConnell rule. Then Donald Trump doesn't get to make another Supreme Court appointment during it because it's an election year. He's also under investigation for various and sundry potential felonies. So, no, he should not be allowed to appoint any more Supreme Court justices. Now, is there any Democrat in the Senate with the starch to say that out loud?
Answer your own question, Bob.
No. Not that I can think of.
I'm glad we're talking because I really need to bounce this off of you. I've asked a few other people I think are of knowledge and I haven't gotten a good answer. But I'm very disappointed, number one. I mean, we know what the DCCC, we know what they're about. So I'm not even going to deal with them right now. I'm talking about the DNC. It would seem like, in my heart, I feel like they haven't apologized hard enough for their transgressions last time around. And with Debbie Wasserman, with the snubbing of Bernie, but Bernie had a hand in it too, probably. And this superdelegate stuff. I would have hoped that they would say, you know what, they need to respond to the constituency, to us, at this point. And I would hope that they would understand that. They should feed off of this energy. But I'm not feeling this. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. I do. And I heard some Democratic senator today. I can't remember which one because the minute I heard it, I began to retch, and that makes it kind of hard to hear anything else. I heard him say something. You know, the candidate deserves a vote. You know, the nominee deserves a vote. The appointee deserves a note or a vote, but has to be rigorously questioned and rigorously vetted. And I thought, oh my God, you have got to be kidding me.
Rigorous.
we're going to give him a stern talking to. And I guess it's time for me to haul out the explanation of the stump liquor bunch again. You know,
oh, no.
You know what stump liquor is.
That was the guy talking. That was that character. That's him, man. That's a real person.
I mean, you know, whether it's sorghums or cane or whatever, but you've had the mules out in the mill and they walked around and they've ground it up and you got the liquid juice out and you're gonna take it for fermenting, but you know once you start boiling it, you know this kind of scum rises up and you skim it and everything, and you dump it in an old holler stump. And it gets and yellow jackets and wasps and bees and ants and all kinds of shit come up and crawl around in it and float in it and die.
Yeah,
that will make it good. Yeah, that's right. And you know, you leave it and then you know, the good old boys come along and they drank it. And it'll make you mean and crazy. And the Republican Party is the stump liquor bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go up to them and say, you know, we just need to have, we need to have a fair democratic process
with lots of inquiry and fairness.
What?
And a chance for people to make serious investigations into the... And you know, and the little Democrat is sitting there prattling. Yeah, the little Democrat sitting there prattling along, and after a little while, the stump licker guy.
No, they're not prattling, man. Don't be fucking pulling the prattling word on me.
The stump licker dude stomps on his foot, and when he bends over, he brings up a roundhouse from somewhere back in Arkansas right into his glass little jaw, knocks his fucking teeth loose, gets him on the ground, kicks him a few times in the gut, stomps on his spine, kicks him in his genitals, and say, "Now, son, let's talk about that inquiry you want to have. You want any more inquiry, son?" That's who we're dealing with. You know, wherever in the universe he is or he isn't, Bart Cop used to put up a graphic that had a snarling dog staring right at the camera. And Bart Cop always said, "You can't negotiate with a snarling dog." And that's where we are.
You got that. You did a very good job in it. Why? Boy. So, all right. So where does this leave us? Because I feel like I want to call Lindsey Graham and, like, you know, just be honest. Like, you know what you guys did?
Oh, Lindsey. Well, Lindsey's happier than a pig in shit right about now because he gonna protect the precious little fetuses.
God.
And they gonna have a 6-3 majority that's gonna bring us back some small limited federal government that is so small and so limited it can't provide food to poor people or health care to anybody, but it's still just slightly big enough to maintain the biggest, most bloated military bureaucracy on the face of planet Earth. And it's going to be big enough to have a court system that'll have judges on it that'll make sure that the wrong color don't be doing too much of that there voting.
That's what it looks like. See? The government is being shut down day by day, month by month. They're not filling these. They just have a name on the door.
Gay folks best be enjoying their gay marriages real quick, like, because they ain't gonna be. They gonna get a decree of divorce from the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know what, man? It's not that crazy to think it might be time to just, you know, say, you know, it was nice while it was nice, but it's not going to be nice too much longer. Time to go. You know, by hook or crook, because this is not America. But these people, their vision, and they're salivating over it. It's very, I mean, the fact, you know, it really took me a long time to process the fact that, I mean, it's just a statement. Okay, well, parents are separated from the children. You know, and okay, separate. All right, mom went to the supermarket and, you know, baby's at home. No, not that kind of separated. Like, they're never going to see their parents again. Never. Never.
Not that a Republican cares.
Do you understand that there's so much wrong with that? I don't even know where to begin. But beyond that, they're fakers, man. They're fakers. These are legal people. They understand what chain of custody means.
And you
Come
know
on,
what?
We already have that.
It's what? Trump's. It's not the Republican Party is a wholly owned subsidiary of Trump Incorporated now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mitt mm-hmm. Romney won his Republican primary in Utah last night, which basically means he's going to be a member of the United States Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And he published some op-ed out in the Salt Lake Tribune or the I don't know, the Kolob Times or whatever the fuck they've got out there. And he said, well, I will speak up, my friend, when I think that it's gotten bad enough for me to speak up. So he's got this standard of how much racism he can tolerate. He can tolerate some, but not a lot. Or there's some continuum of bigotry and xenophobia and hatred and racism and religious intolerance. He can take some, but, you know, the people, the good people of Utah can count on him to maybe say something sometime, possibly mildly disagreeing with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, because I think this is an important question. We've seen from this recent decision now from the Supreme Court where it was obvious that this was a religious and a racial ban out of Donald Trump's mouth. And once again, you know, he made the intent, the mental intent case was made by the defendant, by his own words. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Just like obstruction.
Well, you know, Ron up in the far recently thawed north pointed out, based on something that you said earlier, you know, the government isn't being shut down, Todd. It's being usurped. It's being inexorably transformed into a nightmare of what the framers originally intended.
You know what happened, Bob? And I wrote something down, so I'll be able to get back on my point. But yeah, you see, you know what? A lot of these people are military people. In other words, it doesn't take that many people to usurp. You got to put people in the right node, in the right area. If you look at a flow chart with an organization, you can figure out where you need to put the right person in, who can block, who can control. It's like you still have the name on the door. You still, you know, you're staffed, but, you know, there's a lot of different techniques. And, you know, some of it is withering at the vine where you just defund it because you're controlled the budget. You know, that's what administrators do. That's kind of what, you know, I wasn't up at that level, but, I mean, I'm saying, that was part of what I did. You know, you look at the flow chart, boom, it's like, okay, well, we need this department, and so we can merge this. You know, there's ways you can do that shit. It's real fucking easy. But you have to have the right people in the right spot. Right. So, yeah, I agree with Ryan is what I'm saying. Yup. And it is. And this is insidious. This is not going away anytime soon. These people have taken hold. That's why they've, you know, this is a whole new paradigm maybe that we're getting into. But, okay, so they sent a message where we already saw him, you know, gives his mental state, in other words, of what his intention was. Now, are they sending a message where when this obstruction thing comes up, and it may be to go to Supreme Court after he gets out of his office, where they're just not going to see it? Because I don't know what's going to happen now. This is they've ceded too much power. And he has moved the power of the presidency to a new level now.
Well, it's not that he's consolidating power, okay? And they're giving it to him. They're giving him that power. The Republicans are, even the ones who say, well, you know, I don't always agree with Donald Trump, and the so-called you know, never Trumpers.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, note coming in for our consideration, Todd, from Brother Deacon Asa, regarding when it's gotten bad enough. Asa says, I think our side may be wise to withhold our comparing the children in cages to Nazi gas chambers, because that's inevitably Trump's next step, and then we'll have nothing to escalate our comparisons to.
Damn.
I think it's a fair question. I asked it on Malloy's program the other night. Once you've got 45,000 people in an austere tent city, what do you do with them? Once you've decided to build concentration camps, what do you do with the people you put in them? When do they get out? If they're people that the Republican Party and Donald Trump have decided are persona non grata, enemies of the state, you know, he calls the free press an enemy of the state all the time. But Lügenpresse, yeah. What do you do with them? Do you just turn them loose in the night and just kind of shh? Don't tell anybody. We let you go, okay?
That's the whole thing.
Or do you do the whole? We have not yet decided whether or not they committed suicide or were shot trying to escape.
Okay. Here's the English question: is it ironic?
Is it what?
That. What Donald Trump and his henchmen, who is a disgusting piece of shit, Jeffrey, he's just. So, in other words, what they're doing to those children is, in fact, going to turn a lot of those children into being a person like Donald Trump, somewhat, you know, a sociopath. You know, even the babies, you know, listen, this is basic psychology. This is like, but even if you're not, maybe, I don't know, maybe you take one course in college or something. This is basic shit. Even all primates need to be touched when they're little. You know, infants, toddlers, humans, period, need touch. But babies, you know, in particular, need touch. Now, I resent the hell out of these fucking educated talking head motherfuckers who still are like, well, I don't know about Nazi Germany. No, it is. It's exactly like
No, I mean, don't be gooning on Asa.
I'm not. No, I'm just saying. No, I'm not gooning on Asa. I've been saying this for time long, man. I've been saying, and I know it's not exactly like the Nazis, but it is. It's how it started.
Well, right. Like I've said before, Todd, we made a horrible mistake a long time ago in thinking that that Nazis always have to look like Nazis looked 70 years ago.
Yeah,
they don't all have to They don't all have to be marching around in Hugo Boss uniforms.
Right.
Sometimes they can just look like a guy who looks surprisingly like Owen Wilson standing at a podium in a little church in Texas in a pair of jeans and a white t-shirt.
Okay, exactly. And you know what? And no matter what they look like, see, we're dealing with dis-ease. We're dealing with disease, dis-ease. And the first step in curing a dis-ease is to identify the problem. And if people continue to ignore the problem, then we'll be the problem. You and I will be the problem, and the rest of the people who listen to this program, who enjoy this type of programming, will be the problem. And that's the problem.
And I don't have an answer, Todd, for where we go. And I don't know how this country's going to handle it. I mean, we know that the 35% plurality in this country, the cancerous hard case dead end Nazi maggots, they're going to love all of this. And you know, there are those people who say, well, yeah, they'll be okay until it affects them. Bullshit. Because that presumes that the maggots are capable of intellectual processes. We already know
that the Trump vote was highest in the counties with the highest rates of opioid addiction. Okay? We know that. It's not speculation anymore. It's peer-reviewed data. And so when when the shit hits the fan for them, they will not blame the guy who did it to them. Okay? Those those maggots working for the maggots working for Harley Davidson, who were even union members who voted for Trump because he's going to make America great again, who are going to lose their jobs because of his tariffs. You know who they're going to blame?
The Democrats or Obama or the Congress. They're going anybody.
Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, yep. Hillary Clinton. Bob Mueller, the Germans, the French, the EU, the Canadians, the amorphous multi-limbed aliens from Norblap 9.
Yep. I got no argument on this end at all. And that's what worries me. These folks, and the fact that the media will not say, honest to God, if you don't look at the picture, and you just listen to these quote-unquote rallies. They're fucking Nazi rallies, man. These people are just, it's not rational. They're cheering. You heard Morning Joe this morning, maybe. I did.
Where they were laughing about children in cages? When Jefferson Davis mm-hmm. Beauregard Sessions the Third was making jokes about kidnapping children? And all the Republicans went, ho, 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 ho.
Okay. All right. I got two things on my mind. I really hope you have time because I want to flesh this out. I really do. And since you brought up Beauregard again, this has been bothering me, honest to God. Now, here we have, all right, this man is named Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions, the third. Okay, so he's
Jefferson.
He cherishes his roots.
Jefferson Davis. That's where the Jefferson comes from, not Thomas.
So he is as Southern and Confederate as you can. I mean, to the core. There's no stepping, and he relishes in his, you know, his heritage, like many people would. You know, it's my grandbit. Boy, that's normal, I guess. Except the fact that his ancestors were murderous, traitorous, disgusting human beings. Now, of course, I'm biased, and he's biased because those are his people. However, this man is supposed to be a fucking, the judge of judges, impartial in a way, the head of the top cop in the United States. Now, it would seem to me, even if he didn't fucking mean it, even if this motherfucker didn't mean it, just say, well, I understand that many people might question my sincerity to the color. I mean, to the minorities in this country. Since by my name is Jeff Beauregard, Sessions the Third, and I carry me a gun in my hip. However, I'm going to treat everybody, all y'all doctors down there, I'm going to treat you right. Don't worry about it. Say that. You know what that motherfucker did? He said Black Lives Matter is a motherfucking terrorist organization. Meanwhile, let's look at who the real fucking terrorists are. Let's just break this shit fucking down. Let's be real fucking real. You know who's terrorizing motherfuckers? White males with fucking high-powered weapons and a lot of ammo. Who's shooting up these schools? You know how many generations?
It ain't MS-13.
That's not what the government said.
Yep. Hey, Todd, I got to get out of here, man, because I got to turn it around for Malloy.
Oh, shit. For real?
Yeah. Covering for Malloy tonight again.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Okay, well, why is Trump meeting with Putin, man? I don't understand that. With nobody around?
Well, like Sister Carol Baker said, it's a performance review.
scary, man. Okay, I know you got me set here to go. All right, man.
We'll talk soon, brother.
All right, be cool.
Stay away from that damn stump liquor, you hear me?
I don't want to sit on the hill, goddammit.
You do that too well. Later, man.
Okay.
Bye now. Our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Gotta laugh a little. Ran over a little bit. It's five after. But I want to thank you all for joining in for this prayer meeting Wednesday. And I'll note that we had $180 to raise at the beginning of the program, and we got $180 to raise at the end of the program. Desperately trying to finish fundraising for the month of June. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it'll happen with the overnight podcast, folks. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little ongoing conversation. Thanks to all of you, a much smaller number, who make sure that everybody can participate in this little ongoing conversation by keeping us on the air. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly this evening to Midweek Pinch Hit Utility chat room moderator Steve from Georgistan, all-around great guy. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Catch me in about 52 minutes as I fill in for Malloy as he's headed home. Remember, tune in the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn Radio. That's how you get it. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.